That's pretty cool. It is great. Can I just say up front, I agree about the worship. The worship was fantastic today. But to the team who are up there, especially our young people that were up there, it's not what you sing, it's what we believe when we look in your faces. And when you sang, I believed it. When you sang and you worshipped, I believed in worshipping, and especially shouting out Jesus. I'm going home and I'm going to climb up my hill at Kalamunda and I'm going to sit in the rock and shout out Jesus, because that's from the mountaintop. But that's the best we've got here in Perth. It is good to be here, and thank you so much. And thank you. I was going to change my message this morning when I got up early, and I thought, no, I'm going to stick to what I felt on my heart, because I want to ask you a question. It's a simple question. And I don't think I asked you last time I came, but it has been ringing in my head in the last month or two, because I changed jobs. I've moved from adult and teen challenge, and now I'm working in an interesting position where I'm speaking into local governments right across WA, or especially over our state. I'm actually speaking at the City of Stirling. I've been talking to the City of Stirling team, and I'm speaking there in a couple of weeks on volunteerism. But it's put me into a different place. And so I've been struggling with that a little bit. And I asked myself a question that I want to ask you, the same question today. Who do you know? Who do you know? Now, you might be one of those people that get frustrated when people drop names, right? Like, I don't want to drop names, but I have had morning tea with the governor of Western Australia in his drawing room. I nearly broke his high china, but fortunately we caught it before it fell to the ground. But maybe you know famous people. Maybe you know significant people. Maybe you've got into the rooms with presidents and leaders. But I want to ask you the question, who do you know? Because in life, it's not what you know that counts. It's who you know that counts. You might know lots of stuff, but when you're sick in bed and facing death, you want to know a doctor, right? Because what I know ain't going to help you. You want to know the right people. And I want to ask you the question again today, if this rings in your head, who do you know? Because I walk down the streets of Perth, and the other day I was walking down there, and I just decided to look at people's faces. I couldn't see them because everybody's looking down. And everybody's looking about 2 meters ahead or on their phones, and they look heavy. We're carrying a heavy world right now. The world is a bit crazy. You heard the budget the other day. You're probably feeling a bit uncertain. And if you hear the opposition talk about the budget, you'll even feel more uncertain. And so we live in a shaky society. And right now the question that we have to ask is not what do I know, but who do I know? Who do I know in this time and this season that we're in? I was 13. It was a long time ago, Stuart. It was a long while ago now. But I was 13 and I'd arrived. I was an import from the United Kingdom, and I looked like one. I had King Charles ears. I come from a family of 10, so my mother made sure we had haircuts that lasted a long time. So we had the short back and sides in a season when the mullet was the key. My mother would dress me for school. I'm going to high school, and I'm dressed with trousers that would last my growth spurts for at least 2 years. So they were very baggy. And I had extremely white legs. So it was obvious I was an import. And I didn't get on too well at school. There was one particular guy called Billy. Now, Billy just so happened to be the bully, hence Billy the Bully. And Billy was didn't like me because I was everything he didn't like. A pobby who was very strange looking. And I had a good friend, though. His name was Dave. Now, Dave had a black belt in karate. You need to know Dave, all right? It's not what you know, it's who you know, right? And so it got to the first It was end of first term, and I was feeling really crook. It was like the second last day of term, and I wasn't feeling well, and I hadn't been feeling well for a while. And I said to the teacher, I need to get out of sport, which is something I wanted to do a lot. And I said, because I didn't like the change rooms. So I said, I want to get out of sport. And the teacher said, not a problem, Steve. What I'll do is we've just got two periods of sport. We're playing basketball. You can be the umpire. So she gave me the whistle. Now, Billy the Bully, was in one of the teams. So when it came to blowing the whistle, he didn't agree on the whistle blowing that I was doing. Hence, I did actually call a few fouls on him. And he got angry to the place where he, to my face, you stupid pom, and he would call me names. And afterwards, he decided to see if a clenched fist, how far it could go into my stomach. And I think it went a long way. And I wasn't in a lot, I was in a lot of pain that day. I went home and my mother was concerned and took me to the hospital. And we found out that I actually had an appendicitis. And so it's now 2 weeks school holidays. I go in for my operation for my appendicitis, of which I gave my life to Jesus just before the operation and took it back again after the operation. And I was going through recovery. Well, it got to the next first day back at term, and I was still feeling a little bit under the weather, so I didn't go. My mate Dave, he comes along. He started telling everybody, oh, did you hear about Steve? And everyone's going, no. He said, oh, Steve, he got hit in the stomach, had appendicitis, it busted, he's now dead. Well, that spread around the school. And I got to school on the second day of school. I got there and I'm riding my little bike and I park it. And who was in the parking spot for the bikes was Billy the Bully. And he looked at me and his face was whiter than my legs. And he all of a sudden thought I was the risen Steve. And he was a changed man because it wasn't who I know. Sorry, it wasn't what I know, it was who I knew. And I'm so glad I had Dave who told lies, because it changed my world, because it's not what you know, it's who you know. We live in a society right now where who we know is really important. I speak the name of Jesus. What I know is who I know is more important right now. We can argue theology. We can argue Christ is risen. It's pretty easy to actually argue that Jesus was real, that he did come to earth, that he did die. That's not that hard to argue. But it's not what you know, it's who you know. Because who you know will change a society. Who you know will change a life. Who you know will change a family. Who you know will change your direction. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And I want to take us to a scripture, and I'm glad that you're going through John, I believe, at the moment, because John is actually one of my favorite books of the Bible, because I love John. John's purpose was simple. If you want to find out why John wrote the book of John, you go to John 20. And he basically says that Jesus did many more miracles, but I want to show you these ones, or I speak these because this shows he's the Messiah. The whole book was about Jesus being the Messiah. The whole book is actually to show not arguments, but evidences of Christ being the Messiah. That's why there's the five messianic miracles that he describes, not other miracles. That's why right from the start, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The whole book is about showing to a Hebrew community that Jesus Christ actually was the chosen Messiah who came to earth. And so we come to this particular story. And I love this story because it's not what you know, it's who you know. And John is describing this in this story of the lady at the well. So we're going to pick this up in John 4:5. Now, background of John 4:5, okay, Jesus has been busy. in Judea, and he's been doing a whole bunch of preaching and teaching, and he's the rabbi, and he's starting to get a following, and he's starting to see miracles happen, and people started to ask the question, who's the better, John the Baptist, your predecessor, or Jesus? And Jesus doesn't want to get into that argument right now. He's going, it's not time for that discussion. So he decides, I'm going to Galilee. So he heads off. But to get there, you would usually go around a place around Samaria. You wouldn't go into Samaria because there was tension between the Jewish people or the Hebrews and Samaritans. There was a real problem there because the Samaritans, they'd interbred, they were sort of I won't say it, but the mongrels, they weren't quite fullbreds, right? So, and there was a tension there historically. If you have a look at the tension, there was a time when the Jews decided to actually rebuild the temple, and so they went to rebuild it, and the Samaritans says, we want to come and help, and they said, sorry, you can't help because you're not real. And so they said, well, we'll go and set another little hill, and we'll go and worship God on this hill while you worship God on that hill. And all of a sudden there was this tension. Now we have that today in society. You know, we can argue with different denominations, we call them. We don't call them people groups, we call them denominations. You should worship this way, or you should worship that way. You should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit isn't for today. You should be baptized in water. No, that's okay, you can have a sprinkling. We have the same tensions, right? But Jesus decides to cut through the shortcut right through Samaria. He's going to go right through the place where no one else would go. He's prepared to face the divisions. He's prepared to face those things that separate. He's prepared, and John is saying this on purpose because he wants us to see that Jesus didn't just come for the Jews. He actually came for all people. He's going to cut through political issues. He's going to cut through denominational or religious issues. He's going to cut through social and personal issues to meet this lady at the well. And I love that because it was all a setup. This Samaritan lady at the well at Sychar, Jesus set it up. Jesus sets up times to meet you and I. He actually takes the shortcut to get to you. He knew that lady was coming. He set it up for the guys to take off. He was prepared to meet. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Because it's not what you know about Scripture. It's who you know. And he wants to meet us. And today I want to take you to that place. Let's read it. Let's read the Scripture. It says here, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Ask Pastor Aaron about the background of that. There's great historical reasons for that particular well. This was not a mistake. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from a long walk. I love that. Jesus gets tired in ministry too. He gets tired doing stuff. And he's tired, but it doesn't stop him from doing one of the most significant revivals ever, even though he was physically tired. And then it says this, from a long walk. So he sat wearily beside the well about lunchtime, noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. How does John know what that conversation was all about, since he wasn't actually there? Because no one was there except for Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Can I suggest either Jesus told him or the Samaritan woman spoke to him about it? But he heard about this and wanted you and I to know about it. So please give me a drink. He was alone at that time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, but Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. He is a rabbi and he's speaking to a woman. That's so significant in scripture. Notice how many women sat at Jesus' feet. That was not a rabbinic thing to do. And Jesus is breaking the norm all the time. "Why are you asking me for a drink?" she said. Jesus replied, and here's the guts. "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." Last time I came here, I think there was a problem with the water out here, right? This time there's a problem with the water at the driveway. It must be something about me, living water. But I asked that the question here because, you see, Jesus is saying if you own, she was a religious lady. She knew all the things to do. But if you only knew me, if you only knew the gift that was given you, you would ask me. How many times do we hit hard times in our life and we go and ask everybody else and we make prayer our last stop? If only we would knew who he was, we would ask. If only we knew him, we would ask him for water. If only we would knew him, we would ask him for healing, for help, for provision. If only we knew him, we would ask him first before we went and asked everybody else. Do you know him? Because it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I believe the Spirit of God is crying out to the church today, do you know me? Do you know Jesus? Book of Revelation. He's now John writing on Patmos, and he's writing the last chapter of the Bible. And people love it because they think we talk about it being the end times, and there is truth on that, but there's something else in there too that sometimes we miss. And it starts off right at the beginning of the book where John says, you know, you guys, you do all these great things. He talks to the seven churches. You do all these great things. You know the word. You've been doing great outreaches. You've got great worship. It's so good, but I have this one thing that I'm against, one thing I struggle with, one thing I want to challenge you on. Return to your first love. What's that? Knowing him, loving him. Do we love him? And I think there's a cry to the church to say, come back and sit at my feet again. Stop being busy, Martha. Come sit at my feet again. Because it's not what you know, people. It's not knowing the Bible back to front. Please know the Bible back to front. We must know that. I love the Bible. I love the scripture. But if it doesn't help me know him better, it's just theology. And he wants us to know him better. Do you know him? I sat with a beautiful Catholic priest, a friend of mine. He's a Catholic priest. And we sat down, had a lunch, and I love this guy. He's a good friend. We've prayed together many a times. We've done combined church stuff together. And I sat with him, this is only about a month ago now, and I asked him a question that I like to ask a lot of people. Tell me about Jesus. And some people will give you this great theology, right? Well, Jesus, he's the Son of God. He died, he rose again. I might even give you the Nicene Creed if you're really good. But it's this out there stuff. But when I asked this Catholic priest friend, tell me about Jesus, his face glowed so much I nearly got sunburned. He said, Steve, he's just beautiful. He said, Steve, it's like me telling you, like asking a husband what his intimate relationship is with his wife. It's just personal. It's special. It's real. He is just so. And I'm listening to this guy speaking and my brain is going, but you're Catholic. But he knew Jesus. And isn't that it? Do you know Jesus? When people ask you about Jesus, does your face reflect this love? Like I saw up here when these guys sung today, their faces glowed. Do we love Jesus? Do we know him? Because today, I think he wants us to know him. You know, there's a great scripture that says, which I love, it says in Hebrews, I think I've got it up there, haven't I? Hebrews 6:19, this hope that we have in Jesus, this hope is like a strong anchor that draws us what? Behind the curtain. What's behind the curtain? His presence. His presence. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to draw us into his presence. He's waiting for us to run home. He's waiting there for us to go, forget trying to be good, just come home like the prodigal son who left as an honored son and came back as a servant because he just wanted to be with dad. And dad's sitting there waiting for him. I love that because that's my story. That's your story. So here's this lady. Let me tell you three things that I pick up from this story. To know Jesus, to know him and not just to know about him, to know the man, we first need to understand from this lady that he meets us in the everyday. He meets us in the everyday. He doesn't meet us just in those. He meets us in the everyday. And she was out washing. She's out getting the water to do her washing. She was alone because no one would go with her. She was hurting. She was rejected. She'd been rejected by husbands. She'd been rejected by society because she didn't have a husband and she was living in sin. She was by herself, and that's unusual because you usually collect water with the rest of the community, but she's by herself. And Jesus met her in her loneliness. He met her in her rejection. He met her in her confusion. He met her at the well. And Jesus meets us in the everyday. A couple of weeks ago, I was a bit grumpy. I get grumpy. And I was grumpy. And I said to Jesus, I was in my time at the front of my house, having my quiet time. My wife is away. I'm by myself. I wasn't looking forward to going to work. I wasn't enjoying my job. And I went, and I'm watching my bank account, and it's leaking like a sieve. And I'm going, oh, God. And I'm going, God, if you're part of this, if you're part of this, God, I'm not happy. But if you're part of this, you need to put $1,000 in my bank account within the next week. And then I stopped and went, that is pretty disgusting. You don't talk to Jesus like that. You don't talk to the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the one that we're to worship, God. And then I spent the next 10 minutes apologizing to God. But sometimes it gets like that, right? But Jesus was still meeting me. And I had a good week, believe it or not. And I preached on the Sunday, following Sunday, and I'm at this church down at Ellenbrook Baptist Church, and I'm preaching there. And it was a good day, and I was feeling good. And I left there, and I went over to meet some of my, it was a reunion of the old youth ministry people I used to be involved in, and they were having this reunion. I got to about 3 p.m, and I get out my car, and I'm walking along, and this guy comes up to me, and he says, "Hey, Steve, I'm so glad you're here." I said, "I'm so glad I'm here too." And he said, "Here, God told me I have to give you this." And it was an envelope. And I thought, "Oh, it's nice, a card or something writing in it." I said, "Oh, thank you, mate. It's a blessing and great to see where you come from and what God's doing." Driving home, talking to my wife on the phone. It was hands-free. And I said, "Oh, honey, so-and-so just came up to me and gave me this card." And she said, "Well, what's in it?" I said, "I don't know." So I stopped at the traffic lights and I opened it up. $1,000 cash, exactly 6.5 days after I made that prayer. Why did God do that? Because I needed it? No. Because I was grumpy? No. Because he wants to say, "Steve, I want to meet you at your thirsty well. I'm going to meet you in the everyday. I'm going to meet you when you're hungry and thirsty. I'm going to meet you when you feel disappointed and rejected. I'm going to meet you at the world." Jesus meets us in our everyday. He meets us in our dark times. I love the story of Job. When I lost my son and I had the most amazing encounter with Jesus in that time. And after I went through that season, I remember a scripture that hit me really hard. And it was this, out of the story of Job, who lost everything, a good man of God. He lost everything, including his whole family. And then at the end of Job, chapter 42, verse 5, it says, Job's response, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Sometimes the difficult things of our lives, that's where Jesus comes to meet us. You see, I knew about you, but now I know you. I knew about what you did, but now I know you. Even through the dark stuff, the Peter Scasario in the book Emotional Healthy Spirituality, and he talks about the writings of St. John of the Cross, who wrote The Dark Night of the Soul. And The Dark Night of the Soul, it talks about when we hit the walls of life, when we hit the wall and you can't get through it and you hit that wall. And Peter Scasario put it this way. He said, the wall is God's way of rewiring and purging our affections and passions so that we might delight in his love and enter into a richer, fuller communion with him. Oh, I want to go to that conference of the persecuted people in our world who hit that stuff all the time, because they know Jesus. They know Jesus. And sometimes it's through that. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. But he doesn't just meet us in the everyday. He meets the real you. Not the pretend you, not the you that you bring on Sunday, not the you that we have behind the pulpit, not that. He wants to meet the real me, the broken me, the confused me, the naughty me, the nasty me, the embarrassed me, the shameful me. He wants to meet me. Look what happens. It says, John 4:16, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband. The woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with. You are certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Jesus doesn't want to talk to the pretend you, or the I'm going to get this right you. He wants to talk to the real you, the one that carries the shame, the one that you know in the darkness. You see, the truth is, if I loved you the way that Jesus said in the commandment, you know, love others as you love yourself. If I loved you the way I love me, you'd be in trouble because I don't like me. And so Jesus changed it up later on. You'll read that when he said, a new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. When he loves you, you can love others. When we allow him to love the real me, when I become vulnerable, then all of a sudden I'm free to love others. Augustine wrote this, how can you draw close to God when you are far from yourself? Psalm 4:4 says this, I lay on my bed and I consider or I contemplate or I reflect on my heart. Jesus wants to meet the real you. He was waiting for that prodigal to come back, smelling like pigs, and he was waiting for him to come back as the real him, not the one who thought he had it all together. Jesus is waiting for the real you. He wants to meet the real you. He died for the real you. You are his treasure. And the last thing is, when you meet Jesus, others meet him as well. Meeting Jesus meets others through you. Many Samaritan women, it says in verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in the village. So he stayed for 2 days. And when you know him, you can introduce others to him. We need to know him. We need to discover him. You know, Matthew 4:13, it says that the council knew they had been with Jesus. They could see it on him. Do people know I've been with Jesus? Do people know that I've sat with him every day? I'm not going to tell. You don't have to tell people. They should see it. just being still, just contemplating, not doing your quiet time because you have to, but to sit with him. Mother Teresa said this. She said, when I pray, I say nothing. And the commentator said to her, so what does God say to you then? She said, nothing. And then she said, oh dear, if only you knew. You see, sometimes we just need to sit and imagine Jesus there with me. And just let him love you. And love him back. And you see what the world sees when he knows that you've met with him at the well. Do you know him? That's been my challenge this morning. Do you know him, or do you just know about him? Because the world doesn't want to know about him. They want to know him. And you're the ones who can introduce him. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Jesus. I just want to stop for a moment. We've talked about you're here. And you are here. And some of us are at a well right now, collecting water, feeling the struggle of this world, feeling the rejection and the opinions of others. But hanging on to a faith that's a belief system and yet don't know you. As we sit at that well, Jesus, would you come and visit us? And we would hear those words, if you only knew me, you would ask. Lord, we ask you for living water right now. We ask you for a personal relationship. But I pray that when people ask me about you, my face lights up because I know you. Amen.
Thank you for the word, Pastor Steve. Thank you. I think it is really a word in season for many of us. And really, indeed, if you look at what's happening, if you hear what's happening all around, I think there's this one thing that was resonating last year as well, if you might have also noticed. That is the return to our first love. You know, we can make Christianity, we can make our faith about many things, we can make church about many things. We can focus on many other things, but we take our eyes off the very thing that matters most. That's the foundation of it all. That's our love for Jesus. And when we talk about love for Jesus, it's not a conceptual thing, not something that you think in your mind, that you agree with your mind, but love as something that really you feel in your heart, that moves you, that shapes and changes the entire motivation for our life. Something that shifts within us. And today, if we were to ask ourselves, if we were to be honest with ourselves, where are we in our love for Him? What is driving our lives each day? What's motivating us each day? What are we living for each day? We can say that I'm doing this for Jesus, I'm doing that for God, I can use it in the name of Jesus, but is that really for Jesus? Or is that for us? And I think that is something that we really need to ask ourselves, because you see, we don't want to be Christians or believers who fluff around. And then we come to the end of the road, we come to the end of the day, and we realize it's like a cotton candy that's just all fluff. So I want to ask us this morning to take this time now to reflect on ourselves. And this is really us and the Lord. It's not you and me. It's not you towards me or you towards Pastor Steve. It's between us, you, and the Lord. the Lord Jesus. So, are you willing to meet Jesus? When we wake up in the morning, are we willing to meet Him and say, Lord, here am I. And here's the day that You have made for me. Let me walk with You through this day. What do You have for me today? As we walk through the day, do we say, Lord, come, lead me, speak to me, show me Your glory that's all around. As we come to the end of the day, we say, Lord, thank You for walking with me through this day. Lord, even as I rest, would You give me a vision of Christ? Would You let me know Your presence even as I rest? Are we willing to meet Jesus? And the second question that we ask is, are we willing to meet Him just as we are? Without any mask, without pretense, without putting on some makeup, putting on a front, but to meet Him just as we are. And to allow Him to reveal Himself to us. To allow Him to touch us, to heal us, to restore us. Because as Pastor Steve has rightly mentioned, we can't receive from Him if we are coming with all of our makeup and our pretense. If we are not willing to open ourselves just as we are to Him. So are we willing to meet Jesus just as we are? And the third question is really quite related as well. Are we willing to discover Jesus for ourselves? Or are we just content to hear about Him? To learn about Him? We can go about doing many Bible studies. We can go about listening to many sermons and preachings and teachings. But are we willing to discover Him for ourselves? Say, Lord, if this is who You say You are, Lord, I want to experience You. I want to encounter You. If You say, Lord, that You are the source of living water, Lord, I want to drink. And I want to have the experience of living waters. If You say that You are the bread of life, Lord, I want to experience You as the bread of life. I don't want just to hear about You, to learn about You. I actually want to experience You. So really, would you now make your commitment to the Lord? And say, Lord, I want to meet You, Lord. To everyone who seeks Him and looks for Him, they will find. He will meet us where we are, provided we are willing. And we are willing to open ourselves to Him. Would you tell that to the Lord right now, where you are? And respond to the Lord where you are. Now, I'd like to invite you to take a step of faith and a commitment. If this morning you say, Lord, I want to know you more and I want to know you deeper. And this morning, Lord, I want to have my heart just overwhelmed with love for you all over again. Then I invite you to take a stand and we will pray alongside with you. If this is what you want, that you want to discover Jesus for yourself, you want to meet him, you want to encounter him, you want to have your love refired up for him, take a stand and we will pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, you know all of us, Lord. You know where we are. You know where our hearts are. Lord, we ask that this morning, for everyone who is responding to you, Lord, in faith, who everyone is responding to you in commitment, Lord, we pray that you will honor their faith, honor their desire, honor their hearts. Lord, would you come and reveal yourself to them? Lord, we ask, O Lord, for a fresh and a new encounter with you, that they will see the person of Christ, they will see your glory, they will see your splendor and your majesty, that they will experience, O Lord, even your overwhelming presence. Lord, your tangible and your manifest presence where they are, that when they call out unto you, Lord, Lord, that you will visit them in a special way, that they may know and have the assurance that you are with them. And Lord, would you bring them, O Father, deeper into a deeper place of intimacy with you? We ask, O Lord, that they will discover, Lord, even through who they truly are, even in you. And that, Lord, that they will be able to rest in your love. They will be able to rest in, Lord, in who they are in you and who you are, you have called them to be as well. And Lord, we ask and pray, Lord, that there will be, Lord, even such an overflow of love that's poured out into their hearts, Lord. Lord, love that will heal them from within. Love, O Lord, that will be a motivation and be the wellspring for their every action in life. That they will live their lives in a way that reflect the light and the glory of Christ. They will reflect the love of Christ. Everything they do, Lord, will be an expression of your love. Lord, we ask and pray, Father, that for everyone who's standing, Lord, Lord, would you fill them to overflowing? Would you open their eyes, O Lord, that they may see wonderful things in your word even as they read your word, that there will always be such a longing for your word, that there will always be, O Lord, such a thirst, O Lord, for your presence as well. So, Lord, we pray that you will do this, O Lord, for those who have responded to you. And Lord, we ask and pray that for all of us, Lord, that we will always be in awe of you. That, Lord, that there will be not one day, Lord, that our hearts grow cold or grow stale, that we'll be distracted by anything else. But show us your glory each day, Lord, for out of your grace for us, out of your mercy for us. Lord, we want more of you, Lord. And we want to live for you, O Lord, but because this is who you have called us to be and to do. Lord, we thank you for everyone who have responded today. We thank you that you will meet us where we are. And we thank you that you are on this journey with us and that you are still walking with us through this day, through this journey. We bless you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we all stand now? And shall we now respond to the Lord with this worship song?